New heading. Levels of initiative or self-empowerment. I'd like to talk to you now about a continuum of 7 levels of initiative or self-empowerment. From wait until told at the lowest level of initiative, moving up to ask, moving to make a recommendation, moving to I intend to, then moving to do it and report immediately, then moving to do it and report periodically, and finally, just do it, which is right at the center of your ability to control and influence. You choose which level of initiative to use based on how far the task lies within or without your circle of influence. This takes situational sensitivity and judgment, but little by little, your circle of influence will expand. Choosing our level of initiative widens our definition of voice, so that we can find our voice in any set of circumstances. It may be in a job that we don't enjoy at all. By exercising a level of initiative, we can change the nature of that job, or we can influence others that are in our circle of influence but outside our job. In our present job, we can strive for excellence. We can benchmark against world-class rather than national, regional, local standards. A lawyer could be more of a peacemaker. An educator could be more of a caring shepherd and coach and mentor. A doctor could focus more on education and prevention and deal with the whole person instead of just body parts, technology, and chemistry. A parent could strive to have 80% of all interactions positive, with only 20% involved with chastening, correcting, or disciplining. The salesperson could listen more for needs and adapt with integrity. The marketing person could guarantee the integrity of merchandising and advertising. The business executive would be careful to under-promise and over-deliver. In short, we can teach principles always and everywhere. And sometimes we may need to use words. Let's explore each of the levels of initiative. The first and lowest level of initiative. Wait until told. This would involve a concern that obviously lies outside of not only your circle of influence, but also your job. On this one, you just wait. You don't want to be doing someone else's job. You don't want to be making recommendations about things that are way outside of your circle of influence. People would not have confidence in your recommendation for a number of reasons. They would see your recommendation as being entirely inappropriate, and perhaps see you as being entirely out of line. Acting in areas far outside your circle of influence will actually cause your circle of influence to become smaller. So what do? You smile. Just like the serenity prayer used by Alcoholics Anonymous. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. And wisdom to know the difference. You no longer waste your energy on something you can do nothing about. Now, if you have influence with someone who can do something about it, that's different. You can then move higher up the levels of initiative and self-empowerment. I know it's not easy to smile and do nothing about the issue for now, but many people obsess about stupid things that they can't change at the present times. They sit around and swap war stories with co-workers and massage one another's hearts about the things they can do nothing about. But you know, that just weakens their ability to make things happen on the issues and concerns that they can do something about. Again, their past holds their future hostage. People who don't have their own deep internal act together seek their security from sources outside themselves. Because they're codependent with their environment, they engage in these 5 destructive, cancerous behaviors: criticizing, complaining, comparing, competing, and contending. These five emotional cancers literally metastasize their cancerous cells into relationships, and sometimes throughout an entire organization. Then you've got an organization that's so polarized, so divided, that it's almost impossible to consistently deliver high quality to customers. One note on competing. Although competition for a sense of worth within relationships, families, and work teams and cultures is so damaging, I believe it can be very healthy in settings such as athletics and the marketplace. It can stretch and draw the best in people and organizations. In the marketplace, you can look upon your competitors as your teachers, against whom you can benchmark yourself, particularly if you have worldwide competition and world-class competition. While you may be trying to beat out your competitors, what you're really trying to do is to win better for your customers and to learn from those who are doing it better and faster than you are. That's the power of the free enterprise system. Competition inside the marketplace, cooperation inside the workplace. Remember, we must be bilingual and avoid the single-minded danger that Abraham Maslow described. He that is good with the hammer tends to think everything is a nail. Second level of initiative, ask. It would be reasonable and logical to ask a question about something within your job description, but it may still be outside your circle of influence. But because it's outside your circle of influence, you can't do much about it. But since it affects your job, most people would still consider it legitimate to at least ask. If the question is intelligent and is the result of thorough analysis and careful thinking, it could be very impressive and may increase your circle of influence. Third level of initiative or self-empowerment, make a recommendation. Where would you put the make a recommendation? Consider again the two circles. The larger one is the circle of concern. The smaller inside one is the circle of influence. Where would you put make a recommendation? Now think. You'd put it right at the outside edge of your circle of influence. It may not have anything to do with your job. Like in the illustration with those general agents in the insurance industry. You see, you're making a recommendation that is outside of your job and at the outside edge of your circle of influence. A beautiful illustration of the third level of initiative and self-empowerment is found in the military doctrine of completed staff work. The five basic steps of this doctrine are these. First, analyze the problem. Second, come up with alternative and recommended solutions. Third, develop recommended steps to execute the solution. Fourth, incorporate an awareness of all realities, political, social, economic, competencies, etc. Fifth, make a recommendation in a way that only requires approval by a single signature. Completed staff work requires the effective executive to wait for the best work. First, she asks people to think through problems and issues. Then, when they have done their best thinking, they are to bring a final recommendation. She only looks at that final recommendation. When using completed staff work, upper-level management does not rescue people with quick and easy answers, even though they might plead for them. If the executive doesn't wait until the work is done, she cheats people of growth, and they cheat her and the organization of time. Moreover, people cannot be held responsible for results if they are given the methods. General George S. Patton once said, "Once in Sicily, I told a general who was somewhat reluctant to attack that I had perfect confidence in him. To show it, I went home." Never tell people what to do, and they will surprise you with their ingenuity. You can see how much time and work this saves the executive and how much more initiative it requires from the staff person. I've seen this work marvelously in many, many situations. It also immediately enlarges one's circle of influence, just as it did with those insurance general agents. Fourth level of initiative or self-empowerment. We'll call this I intend to. I intend to is actually one notch of initiative higher than making a recommendation and is an extension of it. I first learned this principle while sailing in the Hawaiian Islands on the USS Santa Fe, a multi-billion-dollar nuclear submarine in simulated war games. What a magnificent sight it was to stand on the bridge with the commanding officer, Captain David Marquette, as we pulled out of the Lahaina seaport and to see that massive black tube 100 yards in front of you, about the length of an American football field, and about 100 feet behind, plowing through the water. While the two of us were engaged in a conversation, an officer approached us and said, "Captain, I intend to take this boat down 400 feet. The captain asked, "What is the sounding?" In other words, the depth of the ocean floor. He said, "About 800. "What does the sonar say?" That is the electronic device that senses other ships, boats, subs, objects. The officer replied, "Nothing, only fish." The captain answered, "Give us another 20 minutes and then carry out your intention." Throughout the day, people would come up to the captain and say, "I intend to do this," or "I intend to do that." The captain would often ask questions and then say, "Very well." Sometimes he would ask no questions and simply reply, "Very well." The captain reserved only the tip of the iceberg type decisions for his own confirmation. The great mass of the iceberg, the other 95% of the decisions, were being made without any involvement or confirmation by the captain whatsoever. I asked the captain about his leadership style. He said that he wanted to empower his people as far as he possibly could within the confines of the naval context. He thought that if he required them to own not only the problem, but also the solution to the problem, they would begin to view themselves as a vitally important link in the chain of command. He matured the culture to the point where the officers and sailors declared their own intentions regarding the captain's decision authority. I intend to is different in kind than I recommend. The person has done more analytical work to the point that he or she is totally prepared to carry out the action once it is improved. He or she has owned not only the problem, but the solution as well, and he or she is ready to implement it. These sailors had a real sense of adding value, something they indicated to me they had not had with other skippers, where they'd been merely in a wait-until-told mode. This is why I intend to is on the outside edge of one's circle of influence and of one's job. Meaningful empowerment significantly increases turnover. That is, losing top people to much higher paying and more satisfying work. Months after my subride, I was thrilled to receive a letter from Captain Marquette informing me that the USS Santa Fe was awarded the Admiral Burke Trophy for the most improved submarine, ship, or aviation squadron in the Pacific. Such is the fruit of trim-tabbing empowerment. Fifth level of initiative or self-empowerment. Do it and report immediately. Do it and report immediately would be on the outside edge of one circle of influence, but within one's job. You report immediately because other people need to know. This enables others to see if everything was done correctly and to allow for timely corrections if necessary. It also provides information needed by others before they can make consequent decisions and take follow-up actions. Sixth level of initiative, do it and report periodically. This level of initiative pertains to actions that could be part of a normal self-evaluation in a performance evaluation visit or on a formal report so that the information can be communicated and used by others. When you report periodically, you find yourself clearly within your job description and within your circle of influence. The highest level of initiative and self-empowerment is simply to just do it. When something is right at the center of your circle of influence and the core of your job description, you just do it. Sometimes, in some cultures, it's easier to get forgiveness than to get permission. So if you're convinced you're right and that the action is not that far outside your circle of influence, it may be best to do it. There is great power in the idea of taking responsibility and just doing it, making it happen. This highest level of initiative reminds me of a true story called A Message to Garcia, written by Elbert Hubbard. Here is a brief summary. When the war broke out between Spain and the United States at the turn of the century, the American president needed to get a message to a Cuban revolutionary named Garcia. He was hiding somewhere on the island of Cuba, out of reach of mail or telegraph. Nobody knew how to reach him, but an officer suggested that if anyone could do it, it would be an officer by the name of Rowan. When President McKinley gave the letter to Rowan in Washington, D.C., the officer didn't ask, "Where is he at? How do I get there? What do you want me to do when I'm there? How will I get back?" He just took the message and figured out how to get to Garcia. He took a train to New York, a ship to Jamaica, broke the Spanish blockade to get to Cuba in a sailboat, then wild carriage rides, marching and riding through the Cuban jungle. 9 days of traveling later, Rowan got the message to Garcia at 9 a.m. That same afternoon at 5, he started his return journey to the United States. Giving further insight, author Elbert Hubbard wrote, "My heart goes out to the man who does his work when his boss is away as well as when he is at home. The man who, when given a letter to Garcia, quietly takes the missive without asking any idiotic questions and with no lurking intention of chucking it into the nearest sewer or of doing aught else but deliver it. Civilization is one long, anxious search for just such individuals. Anything such a man asks will be granted. His kind is so rare that no employer can afford to let him go. He is wanted in every city, town, and village, in every office, shop, store, and factory. The world cries out for such. He is needed, and needed badly, the man who can carry a message to Garcia."